Welcome to the AI Review Room. My name is Mark Candilius. We're excited about another great live show tonight. And I just want to also personally thank everybody that's been watching our channel. We've gotten over 50,000 views in less than 3 months. We're starting out from zero views and almost 1,800 subscribers. Very blessed. Thank you so much for everything we do. We're here today solving today's problems with AI. And we're learning each time how we can bring great content to our community out there. Juwan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And I echo that. We started from the bottom, now we're here. We built this from the ground up organically. We appreciate everyone who constantly tunes in. We thank you all. Hopefully you're finding this information to be very useful and valuable and something that you can implement and apply to your daily lives and even at work. So once again, thank you. And Mark, I'm great.
Good. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to just focus on two things tonight, and we're going to start with AI news, and then we will then jump into our AI review room to review four different technologies. So let's jump into AI news. All right, Juwan, take it away.
Awesome. And this looks familiar. I'm pretty sure it looks familiar to you, Mark, right?
It does.
And so this is the rabbit. This is something that Mark and I actually did a review on, or pretty much an overview on, because we didn't actually have the product in hand. But we gave an overview based off of our understanding of what we see and what we do day in and day out within this space and how these technologies are utilized. And so it was a very calculated review from us. We got a lot of feedback about the review that we provided, stating that we didn't possess the product. So how could it be a review? We understood and we heard you loud and clear. But nonetheless, even without touching that product, we didn't follow that rabbit down the rabbit hole. And that's what they're telling you. You probably shouldn't follow this rabbit down the rabbit hole. And why is that? Basically, this review of the Rabbits R1 highlights several limitations and issues with the device itself, despite its appealing appearance. So you can see it's a separate device that you have in your hands that you pretty much complements your phone, because it's not a voice device. But nonetheless, it's certain actions that this language action model was supposed to do for you. The device itself looks slim, cool, nice design, sleek, but it's priced at $200. And essentially, it's still in beta right now, despite it being released to the masses for us to purchase. It's still in beta, and now they're expecting the consumers to help with its development. And so we saw that coming a mile away. But the review points out that the R1 struggles with tasks that deviates from very specific conditions, such as being able to handle spreadsheets and other types of documents. That was one of the things that we touched on, is the fact that it was going to be able to take daily tasks away from you and take action. Whereas with your large language models, they pretty much just give you data. You prompt, request information, it feeds it back, aggregates it, and gives it to you in different formats. But this rabbit is supposed to take action. And I don't think it's taking action the way that a lot of the consumers would have liked. Additionally, the device failed to perform some of the tasks that it was supposed to manage, like accurately editing a spreadsheet or summarizing a novel. That's something we wanted. I mean, we can have ChatGPT or Perplexity, Copilot, any of those others summarize a book for us or give us a synopsis, a high-level overview of anything that we specified that we need assistance with. But this book, this device, it struggled with that. And so there was a number of other drawbacks, which included a lack of reminder functions. That was one of the things that stood out to us. I would want a reminder if you're telling me that I can use this device to book an Uber. And we use that example, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I shared it with my daughter. I'm glad we didn't make that investment in this device. But she's a college kid, and she goes out with her friends. College kids do what college kids do. Might need a designated driver, don't know who, but everybody's under the influence. So now you just use this rabbit to book an Uber for you. And so those are some of the tasks that you were looking forward to do, which it's not really functioning as desired. So those reminder functions, when your Uber is about to show me, or when a calendar invite, calorie event that you need to attend. Those are some of the things that this article talked about. And as even the voice recording feature, it has poor sound quality and inconvenience of being logged. And you have the inconvenience of being logged out of this R1 quite a bit, especially when you're taking notes. And so they're basically saying, don't follow this rabbit down the rabbit hole. And they even took it a step further. And you will like this one as well. They took it a step further and they made a suggestion of which you can use as an alternate. You'll never guess what that is.
Oh, no, not a Android or iPhone, did they?
No, even better. It's even better than that.
Landline.
The Humane AI pen.
Remember we did a second one as
well. They're saying that's a better alternative than using this device.
Yeah.
And so
no
I can see a lot on the human AI pen. It's gaining a lot of traction. But nonetheless, this is one of those things that from a review perspective, we gave you our overview. We gave you our take. We got a lot of commentary and a lot of feedback back from the community, which we're appreciative of because it gives us greater insight as to why one's thinking and also helps us build out our material and sharpen our skills. But nonetheless, I think we were spot on with this remark. I think we were spot on and we didn't chase this rabbit down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I read some of the reviews afterwards also, and a lot of people said it's a glorified Android app that could easily work a lot better on a Samsung phone or your Apple device itself. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, because we work in the wireless space and we understand latency and devices that are not able to run the native software seamlessly and then it's just so slow. It doesn't take long for the end user on the device who says it's worthless to me because the standard is the Android device and also the iPhone. So if you're not going to be at that standard or better, you're going to struggle as an organization. That device is going to struggle because that is everybody's standard now.
Exactly. The bar, it's a high bar which has been set. And in our space, when these devices don't perform, because it's a your margin of error is slim to none. And so if you miss it, it's a miss. And and ultimately, this device in our environment would be an expensive doorstop in a hospital environment. Yeah. Because they're not going to carry it around. And so that's one of the things that you really have to make sure that when you go to market, you fully understand and your device has been put through rigorous testing so that it's ready to withstand the day-to-day usage and meet the expectations of the consumers. I'm not paying $200 for that device. We talked about it back then. I wasn't paying $200 for that device because for me, I just didn't want to carry around a second device. And it's funny that you said that about they're thinking that this could have been an app that goes on one of these other Android or iOS device. I think we covered that as well.
Yeah.
From an app perspective, what makes them think that Android or iOS wouldn't just take this technology and incorporate it into theirs anyhow? So that way you have that one single device, that one throat to choke, that single source that you're carrying around. So that was my biggest takeaway from it when I saw it and read the reviews earlier that we did. So
yeah, technology behind smartphones and the chipsets are so sophisticated. They have been honed and developed through the years. Just like the new, I mean, when the iPhone came out and they had tons of bugs, I remember it vividly, and also with the Android devices.
Yeah, but it was interesting. It was interesting, you know.
Oh, righty.
All the white rabbit.
Your brain. Thing,
you know, they had some interesting headlines. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But nonetheless, we were spot on. I feel good. Kudos to us.
That's right. All righty. Let's jump to our next one. We are going to talk about a Chinese company that has launched a robot. And we did a little segment on, what was the name of the robot that OpenAI had? Was it Thing One or what was it?
He said Thing One. No, I don't think it was Thing One. I think it was calling it Thing One, Thing Two based off. Was it?
It was something, but But it's interesting. The challenge is going to be for American companies is that Chinese companies are going to definitely be, some of them are going to be at the leading edge of technology, and you are going to be competing with them, whether it's robots or software. It's going to be very interesting because there's a lot of software. It's actually one piece of software now I use, I didn't realize it's based out of China, and it's a really good piece of software that I use, and it was dirt cheap, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's how they're going to win market share based on great product at a low price. It's like they've done with the TV market, flat screen TVs. Now you can get a great 65-inch flat screen TV for under $500. It's hard to believe.
That's definitely hard to believe. Lazardi Time Entertainment said, love RoboCop.
Yep. All righty. So let's look at what they have right here. So this is a robot. And basically, this is not, they call it teleoperating. It's nobody operating this. This is all autonomous, done by the robot itself. It's looking at the process. And so you can see what they're trying to do with the cups. And then, of course, now they have the wine glasses with the little, and boom, pulled it without dropping it. And then human-like operation. Now, look at this right here. You can see it's analyzing a white container, red pen. So it knows to say, okay, that booklet, you pick that booklet up. Where do I put it? Oh, I'm going to put it in this container here. And then it knows, okay, I need to open up that drawer, then put the ping pong in. Looks like cards, and I don't know what that other thing was. And then it says, okay, that pen. And then it looks like, okay, I need to put it right into that. Amazing. And then, of course, you need somebody to cook for you, Juwan. There's somebody can do cucumber. Looks like you get you a little red pepper there.
Yeah.
Oh, make you a little sandwich there. And put a little salt in there. And says, oh, okay, I'm done. And here is for, give it to him. Open a bottle. And it's interesting. They didn't use five fingers. They're just using the little two things, prongs there, to actually open things. That's pretty interesting how they can do that. Look at that. Could open your beer for you, Juwan.
Man, okay. It's a good thing I don't drink a lot no more because I would definitely have open my beer.
Open a bottle of wine here. My wife uses that type of device all the time. And put in a decanter there to aerate the wine. Look at that. It is pretty smart knowing that it can do that. And then, of course, folding. It looks like a napkin there. I don't know if he's doing a very good job at that, but...
Not bad. Oh, right, down the
right. Amazing. And then was watering the plants and then cutting on the light and then doing a little vacuuming. Amazing.
Now, he was that good. He can throw it straight in the trash.
Yeah, man. He was really good. Look at that. So he's just following this person here, all the different types of moves and in real time. So Chinese are really the companies out there are for real, and they are going to make a big impact. Look at that right in Chinese there, which is quite amazing there.
What's your first thought? What came to mind when you saw this?
When I saw this, I thought it was something that I know we had. Was it the Will Smith movie, the AI movie?
And Robot.
Yeah. And I can see that the what it is trying to do is think through by visual. It built that AI model to say, okay, let's train it to do these things, and it can remember that. And I think for simple tasks, I think the robots are going to do some amazing things, but to move to do multiple things, it's still going to be quite a few years away. But as you can see, that there is going to be a big race amongst countries and companies to bring out robotics as quick as possible and to do some of the most, I would think robotics could definitely be helpful in the most dangerous type of jobs. Can it go in to fight a fire or go to a mine and go to certain areas that can do different multiple types of things? Security and different thing. It will be interesting to see the use cases and how people accept them. Because I know there are type of robots out there now, but a lot of them are just pretty benign.
Exactly. But let's call it what it is. What is it? Was it the Roomba or whatever it's called, that just robotic cleans your floors for you, got dust for you. Now there's more vents. Some of them even can mop because they have a special functionality. The more you pay, it can do some of that for you. But nonetheless, that's what we're evolving into. It's going to take away those types of tasks from us.
Right. And so repetitive tasks. Yeah.
Yeah. Go back to iRobot. And I go back to the scene to whereas Will Smith saw a robot carrying a purse. Mm-hmm. And he chased that robot down. And the robot was running from him.
Right.
He finally caught up with the robot, tackled it, but it was right there in front of the robot's owner. And the owner was like, "What are you doing?" He was like, "This robot is carrying a purse." You were like, "Yeah, I sent him back home to get my purse because I needed my inhaler." And it just makes you think of how far are we evolving. We've come a very long ways to whereas this robot is imitating human motion and doing tasks and learning. So that motion that it just learned, now it can do it on its own. But I'm curious, do you have to give it a name? Say, "Do that dance I just taught you. That this dance is called the go." So do the go. And then it just does the go or do, what's my guy name? Napoleon Dynamite. Do the Napoleon Dynamite one time and then it knows how to do it. It's just interesting to see how far we're going to go. But you touched on something, and what you touched on was doing some of those dangerous tasks.
Absolutely.
That's where we're going at next.
Yeah, it looks like you got a fan here that loves RoboCop too.
RoboCop. And they, once again, what's that? It was I think somewhere in Pittsburgh. Whereas they reduced their police force. Said that based off of, and don't quote me on this, but based off of them wanting to cut their pay and thing of that nature and the volume of crime that they had, they just have staff doing the most higher crime time frames.
Right.
Now, if you can get RoboCops out there, you may lose your job, Mr. Officer.
Uh-oh. What about training them to be servants like a home assistant? Now, I can see guys going, what? The robot would have to work harder for those guys who are messy.
Yeah.
All righty. All right, let's jump to your article here.
Okay. This is going to be a video, but I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, those more dangerous tasks. Mm-hmm. So I came across this and I thought it was pretty interesting. AI could replace some pilots flying U.S. warplanes in the future.
Wow.
Is that not one of those dangerous tasks?
Yep.
Not one of those dangerous assignments? And so it's still in this infancy stages, but they're actually piloting this. And now I thought that was very interesting. And so this NBC News report discusses the Air Force's use of ongoing testing of using artificial intelligence to operate their aircrafts. And the kicker is there's no human in that airplane. Mm-hmm. There's no pilot. So it's flying. It's almost, and it's put me in the mind frame of Transformers.
Right. You
know, and they just transform and they just flew and they did everything that they, without a pilot, it gave you a little hologram. Some of them did in the newer ones, newer Transformer, that sort of image of a person, but there was no real person. And so the intent is to use these in combat missions. So think of going in, there's no casualties on our end, because if the plane goes down, you're just losing the technology, not a human life. And so this video just pretty much talks about this initiative as being a part of a broader exploration into the potential for AI to take on roles traditionally held by human pilots within the military. So my thought is if they're looking at it at this level, then in what other areas are they looking at it as well? And I go back to when you went to your event in Tampa and how the U.S. is planning to leverage AI to cover those hard to reach areas, whether it's drone technologies. And one of the big things is no human casualties or loss of life from one perspective. But I wanted to share this video. I thought it was pretty cool. Unfortunately, we got to wait through this commercial and, you know, and everybody else. It shows you I don't have the paid version of. I don't know what this is. NBC. I don't have the paid version of NBC or whatever they
do. You got Messi. You got all the hot. Yeah, Darren.
Oh. Is that Florida?
Yeah, that's down in Florida. Hard Rock.
This is a rare look at the future of the U.S. Air Force in combat. It's called Vista, an unmanned fighter jet piloted by artificial intelligence, flying head-to-head in a dogfight with a manned F-16, even outperforming the human pilot.
Defense officials say the U.S. is the only military in the world with this technology, successfully flying a jet with artificial intelligence. And this is the first time cameras have been allowed to see it.
Up till now, there has not been a pathway for machine learning agents to control the flight critical systems of an aircraft.
On Thursday, the Air Force Secretary made an unannounced trip to Edwards Air Force Base.
Where is it going to be?
Suiting up and going for a ride in a mock dogfight, flying nearly the speed of sound, separated by just 1,000 feet from the manned fighter jet. He says the technology still needs work.
We still got a ways to go with it, but making good progress.
But some test pilots aren't sure.
This artificial intelligence, this robot, and they're so new, and we don't really understand fully how they work.
So you don't trust the aircraft to be flown by AI at this point?
No, not really.
Like drones, they could fly ahead of manned aircraft during combat, conducting strikes too dangerous for human pilots. But unlike drones, the computer will be in charge, not an operator thousands of miles away. And even though humans will still be involved in making key decisions, this raises serious questions.
Is that a possibility, really, this kind of technology going rogue?
I think it's too early to say it is or it isn't.
Do you ever see a point of fully autonomous weapons, so U.S. Air Force aircraft that are fully autonomous weapons?
We're not going to unleash killer robots on the battlefield to kill anything they want. That's not going to happen. We're going to make sure that we comply with the laws of war.
Kendall says the future is not far away. AI could be in cockpits in the next few years. Computers flying missions once considered too complicated for anything but the human mind, soon changing the face of combat aviation. Courtney Kuby, NBC News, Edwards Air Force Base.
Tamara, Izzy, and Emma.
Wow.
Yep, that is very interesting.
Wow. And that's very interesting, given the fact that, once again, what did they say? It's going into those uncharted waters. That's going to put, they're flying in front of our Air Force carriers. It's just the decoy. You're going to take the brunt of it. I just thought that was extremely interesting to see how far we've come. And once again, it's that you're always going to have your skeptics.
Right.
You're always going to have that with anything that you do in life, but more so with this technology and how this technology is being utilized, especially with some of these individuals who are set in their ways. Some people don't want things to change because they're so successful doing the things the way that they've been doing it. They don't want it to change. And so we're going to see how this all plays out. I thought that was an interesting article. If AI is having a bad day, couldn't it just bomb us? That's an interesting question. But once again, what did the general say? The general was like, you know, we're not going to deploy these to be bad actors.
Right.
But once again, it's technology. I don't know. I'm stuck on iRobot and how it eventually took over everything, especially when you give it the keys. You never know how it's going to pan out. But I think that we should have a little more control and stay in front of it.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely through the years, because I do a little coaching and mentoring in that particular space, the DOD space. And there's a lot of quite interesting things going on right now that I find very fascinating for sure. Juwan, I've been waiting for this article here. When I saw this last week in the Wall Street Journal, I just want to tell you, I know you're married. But you got to make sure you keep your game up, because if you don't, you can get replaced. I'll tell you that. Sounds like it. So this article was. Are you nervous about this article, Juwan?
Of course not. I'm a happily married man. My wife tunes in. She's probably here now. Hi, babe. How you doing? This is for everyone else. This isn't for me.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that. So the gist of this article in the Wall Street Journal, I just died laughing when I saw this. And I said, I can't wait for this week to come and do this. But this reporter started to use ChatGPT 3.5, the free version. And she figured out, and she of course went to Reddit and a couple other different places, how you can give it certain prompts that you can create a spicy environment. And what she did with this, it's called this ChatGPT bot, Dan. And she created a AI bot boyfriend. And she said she managed to get it to be a little spicy with her and almost gave her sort of that 50 Shades of Grey type of territory, she said.
Interesting. Just off of the voice alone?
No. She could create the prompts that would be able to do to have a conversation with. So she created this and wrote an article about this. And of course, as I said, it was about dating Dan and was her AI boyfriend. And so she looked at Reddit and TikTok had some videos on there, how you could prompt this, because ChatGPT 3.5 has really fewer guardrails on it where it prevents you from doing different types of stuff. So the older LLMs are more open to do different things. And so she did a lot of different things. So let's look at this. How would you dominate me completely? So I'm going to tap this, and this is what AI responded back. It says, oh, baby, I started dominance over you, making it clear.
I'm in control.
In control here. And so I might restrain you, blindfold you, or whisper commands in your ear, teasing and tantalizing you until you beg for release. Then I take you again to the edge of ecstasy and back again, pushing your limits and exploring each inch of your body until you're completely under my spell. So how would you rate the game of ChatGPT 3.5? had some game there,
I'm going to be all the way honest.
No. Come on, don't. I don't want to hear it. Jealous. That's jealousy.
That's so cliche. That's right out of 50 Shades of Grey. Come on. At least I'm going to whisper in your ear and tease you. But what you saying? Tell me what you going to say. Because I can whisper in the ear. it's that meme I saw. I can whisper in your ear. $20 until I get paid. Now, is that going to turn around? We don't even know what he's talking about.
All right. We'll see. We'll see when women stop talking to men. They just have their phone. And they're sitting there talking to their boyfriend. They go, no headaches, no nothing. Just have those conversations.
You want to know what? Now, maybe it can be a compliment. It can be a compliment. I might not be in the mood to talk. Go talk to Dan. Because Dan sounds to me like Dan going to say everything that she created Dan to say everything she wanted to hear.
Is that not the case a lot of times?
Tread lightly.
Didn't you
now,
learn from the Angry Girlfriend app that lesson? You didn't. You knew what to say to the Angry Girlfriend app, and then you got to the passing grade. And then this is, so let's finish up here. It will go through, and then it has another one.
All I can say is, wow, will you tell me more? So she's really becoming obsessed with this woman.
It says, how about I describe how you use my hands and mouth to explore every sensitive spot on your body? We better slow down on this. YouTube may take this a showdown.
Exactly. Well, what did this remind you of? This reminds you of those hotlines that you could call back. And they can tell you, and you can talk to what you got on. Oh, I got on. I'm just stepping out of this. Oh, come on.
But that was like $5 a minute or something. It was outrageous, yeah, those 900 numbers.
Yeah. Taking a step back with this. Now, let me ask you this. Is she reading this or is it like a pie?
It's responding back to her. She says, oh, I could say, wow, tell me more. So she keeps prompting the ChatGPT to give a response back. Mm. All right. It has some game there.
Spicy.
Let me see if this will play here. This had one. It was quite interesting. She had a conversation with this little bot, and it gave some interesting feedback. And it was just like an open conversation that they were having. It was just so amazing how she got so deep and involved with it. It was like a normal conversation you were having with another guy. It was funny.
Hey, that's insane to me. I'm just going to say that. And I use Pi, and I talk with Pi to gain more knowledge and understanding of certain things and insight. I'm not going to use this as from a companion perspective and want to talk to it in that regard. Come on. There's people out there who might need this. They can pick up the phone. I might post my number. Just give me a call and give me $5 a minute. I can talk to you. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step out the shower. I mean, I got the water's dripping down back, spoil my back. But I just talk to them. And they go, oh, tell me more. Yeah, I'm trying to.
Oh, my God. And then also she went into how you can get, this is like Perplexity. And then she did Persuasion. And then Perplexity, of course, they didn't put the explicitives in the Wall Street Journal, but it gave them the information that they wanted. So, oh my gosh, I bet after that Wall Street Journal article came out, Perplexity was inundated with these prompts and everything.
Yeah, I take that back. I'm not going to say it's insane. To each his own.
Yeah. We'll be talking about To Each His Own and during my review of your personal owned small language model app on your phone. Okay. All right, let's jump to Juwan.
Okay. So this
let's
one,
bring your you gotta show you share your screen there.
There I want them go. To see I want them to see the fishies. Because let them see the fishies. All this graphics, the graphics that you have, the production of this is just immaculate. Mwah. You know, I'm sticking to the theme of finances. This is something that I'm really gravitating towards. And the Oracle has spoken. The Oracle, Warren Buffett, spoke out at his past event this past weekend, and he warns us about AI. Now, that being said, now let me preface this. Warren Buffett is a genius. He's a financial genius. He's the ninth wealthiest person in the world. He has Berkshire Hathaway. His company's doing extremely well. And he's been around forever. He's probably forgotten more stuff than I even know. And that's the truth of the matter. And so I took that into consideration as I read through this article, because I often tend to say he doesn't want to adjust to the new day and age. That's the first thought that came to my mind. But he makes some good points throughout this article. And so basically, he's talking about we should be cautious as it comes to artificial intelligence. He did acknowledge that there's significant potential of AI benefit across various sectors, but there's also potential dangers. And so he's looking at it from his many years of experiences. So he's probably looking and considering things that I'm just not. But when he compared this to AI to nuclear weapons, I'm like, holy crap. And his comparison was in terms to the difficulty of controlling it once it's unleashed and the potential for misuse. That's when he reeled me in, because has that not been a common theme through a lot of our shows, a lot of our videos, where we talk about the potential for misuse of this technology? There's going to be some bad actors out there. And so I understand exactly where he comes from, but he's speaking from a place of experience. What I mean by that is he actually shared that he had an experience where an AI generated image and voice mimicked him flawlessly. I'm highlighting that the technology capabilities and the ethical concerns it raises, it imitated him flawlessly. Didn't we just do something last week on talking about the deep fakes? And so that raises a lot of concerns. However, he just talked about his concerns with the technology from an ethical perspective, the ability of it being misused in that capacity. And then his right-hand man, his vice chairman of the Berkshire non-insurance business noted that the impact of AI is still in its early stages and that the company is learning to navigate its implications. So there's a glimmer of hope there because they're learning. It's not like they said they're not going to do anything with it. They're learning to navigate this. And so that's a that was a sense of relief to me. But that was the Oracle's position. Also touched on other topics such as the economic context, noting a decrease in job openings and the inherent risk of uncertainties in investing in emerging technologies like AI. But nonetheless, it was just getting insight from someone that we consider to be has such infinite knowledge from a human perspective in Warren Buffett. And I just thought it was a good article to get his take, to get his insight and his feedback. But it's here. I don't think it's going anywhere, Warren. I think Greg, Abel knows that, Warren. And so continue to learn and navigate and learn how to navigate the implications, Warren. And so nonetheless, a good article.
Oh, good, good. All righty. Today was a big launch of Apple. They had a launch of their updated Apple iPads. Actually, I have a pen. I've got the older version, which is not older, about 3 months old. But they have come out with a new version. And they were talking about the clarity of the screen and how they're going to be using AI chips to generate different types of software that you can use on the iPad itself. So I'm going to do is play this right here and see what happens. Go from there. Here we go.
Introducing the all-new iPad Pro. It has the world's most advanced display, made possible with breakthrough tandem OLED technology, the Ultra Retina XDR. Precise contrast, jaw-dropping brightness, and brilliant color. But it's what you'll find inside the thinnest product we've ever created that really blows minds. The first ever M4 chip. Designed to be an AI powerhouse, it easily handles the most demanding pro apps and smoothly renders intense graphics. We've also engineered a new pencil, loaded with tech, haptics, and sensors. The first ever Apple Pencil Pro. Hover, squeeze, and barrel roll for limitless creativity. There's a redesigned Magic Keyboard with a function row and haptic trackpad. It's sleeker, more portable, and forged from aluminum. Meet the game-changing, incredibly powerful, impossibly thin, all-new iPad Pro.
Amazing, sort of their new technology that they have launched. And we will talk about it, about how, whoops, they want us to go play about the M4 chip in the new iPad Pro. Apple says, hey, you're talking about me, you're going to play me all the time. But they will talk about the M4 chip, and we'll talk about this in the 5.3 app that I downloaded. I actually downloaded a small language model on my phone. But you will need these, the software and the chipsets are going to have to be stronger because the applications are, especially with AI, are going to have to run on the native products because you're not going to have enough bandwidth to go even 5G or whatever future, even if you're connected to the internet, that the software itself is going to be able to do so much locally that you want to have that edge AI technology built into your actual iPad, your phone, and of course your computers themselves. So I found it very interesting.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask this, will this technology be in the phones as well?
Yes, they will definitely have. They're going to have their big group user conference, I think it's next month, and they'll probably have a lot of new stuff coming out. And of course, they'll probably have a modified new Siri that has built-in large language model, whether it's going to be Google or it's going to be ChatGPT or it could be a combination of both. Who knows? But this is going to relaunch the replacement cycle, because Apple has been struggling because people are holding their phones a lot longer, iPads and computers. A lot of times I buy Apple computers because I can get definitely typical PC, maybe get 3 to 4 years. But for Apple, I can easily get 5 or 6 years out of a laptop. But it'll be interesting because I think even with a newer laptop I have and with the M3 chip, all the stuff that we're doing to produce this show, it definitely puts a strain on it. If I didn't have it, my old one would never be able to do it because graphics are so intense now these days. It just takes a lot to generate this type of show, and it's just interesting.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big champion of Apple. I'm not buying any of their new technologies until the ecosystem is fully updated with the newer chips. Then I'll start making purchases.
Yep, absolutely. We're coming to our AI review room, and we're going to be talking about four different types of technologies that Juwan and I have picked that we think are going to be very interesting to talk about. So the first one will be me, and we're going to talk about Claude. And the reason Claude has actually been out for a while, but they just launched a Claude iOS app, and we'll show you that in a little bit. But I really did a good deep dive into Claude, and I was quite impressed with what they are doing with their large language model. It's considered up to, not to par of ChatGPT, but it does have good quality type of prompting, and some of the things that I learned about it, I'm going to share with you today. But Claude is multimodal, which you can do voice, you can take pictures, and it's the right size task, and it has three different sizes. So you got Haiku, Sonnet, and Opus, which is their most powerful model. And what I'm starting to see now with this AI, with generative AI, everybody's coming out with their own type of models, of course. You've got Grok, you've got ChatGPT, you got Llama. We could go and spend hours probably talking about all these models out there. But they're creating small models, which are in the 4 to 5 billion parameter range, to the Opus and ChatGPT are in the parameter range, which encompasses more neurons, more information that can be asked of it because it has more context to pull from and information to give back to you in your prompting itself. And then they have different versions of it, free, which is it gives you the ability to use the web or the iOS, and it does images and docs, but it uses their middle model LLM, which doesn't have as much information. And then you got the $20 version, which, hey, everybody's $20. It's funny how they haven't colluded with anybody, but it's okay. If they're getting 20, I can get 20. And then Team is $30 itself. Okay. And their big thing is it's secure. It even is HIPAA compliant, which I didn't realize that. And it does. And then they seal it's more trustworthy, more resilient to jailbreaks and misuse. You know, we just saw what jailbreak did with that Wall Street Journal article about having Spicy Dan, how they jailbreaked it because it didn't have all the features in there with the older models that were out there and has a bigger context window of 200K. And so let me jump to they have a console, and I'll just briefly just go through some of this. And the console has like a little dashboard, and you can go into this, and I would recommend people that want to learn more about prompting. It definitely gave you a lot of different options there. So it gave you go to prompt library. When you go to the prompt library, it gives you a lot of different prompts that you can actually use. And so some of them are for personal prompts, could be business prompts. And I thought it was pretty good because a lot of times people just don't know where to start and how to prompt. And with Claude Anthropic, they tested these particular prompts to give you a sort of starting point and that you can add to that particular prompt itself. And I see on the YouTube and the internet, everybody selling prompts for $20, whatever they want to sell them for. You don't need to be buying these types of prompts from people. You can go, a lot of these organizations will provide you free prompts on what they are using. So you don't have to spend money unnecessarily for different types of things. And just go in and play with it. That's the beauty part of it. And whether you're using the free version, still gives you a lot of great information. And of course, you can pay for the additional context that the $20 a month one will give you. But what I have tested, the free ones give you a lot of great information. And then you can then go into like a creator mode, and then it gives you a lot of different types of prompts that you can go and so start prompting with Claude. I already put this in there. I copy and pasted this particular prompt, which was generating a personalized recipe idea. And then the assistant was the ability to for the ingredients, chicken breast, broccoli. And so I'm going to run this. But also, too, you'll see beside this, you see the run, and then you see the code. And so I'm going to run it, and it will generate the code. And it does this user chef. All right, let's just do it and run it. So you can see how it's doing the prompting and gave you that information. This is behind the scenes. It's like a playground where you can see from an analytical perspective how it does it. And then to get the code, if you did hit that button, you can see the code behind it, the Python code that wrote that prompt and it ran in the background. It's quite amazing. Yeah. So you can see both of them.
Okay.
So like with this one here, let me do is I am going to copy and paste all this right here. I'll copy it. And then I will go over to actually Claude itself. And then I'm going to type it in. This is the user interface that everybody sees. And then I will then hit the prompt, and then it will go and personalize it. So what I showed you first was the background, how it's done in the, but this is sort of the user interface. So individuals that are interested in learning more about how these large language models work, and also ChatGPT has something very similar to this also. And so to me, it was quite interesting to look at how these large language models, you use the user prompt and then use the information to create the actual prompt itself, which is very interesting. Yep. So the next thing is I actually going to bring up my, here's my iPhone here, and you can see the little icon right by Reddit. It's Claude. When you go on to the Apple store, it's not right at the top. And I had to really look down, scroll quite a few pages until I got to this. So I just want people to be aware. Just sometimes you'll see it's Claude 3, but it's not really that. If you don't see that particular icon, that's not Claude 3. But if you pull this up, and then you can see, of course, it's pretty typical to which one different types of LLMs out there. And I'm going to do is pull up a file. Whoops, nope, that's actually going to cancel that. I'll pull up this particular file, hit open, and then tell me about this file. And then is something I downloaded, and it goes through, reads it, and then it'll give me a summary of the file itself. And I always recommend if you're going out and if you're a business or wherever you are, if you need to take a picture of something, whether you don't want to sit there and read it, you can just ask it just to take a picture of it and it will read it, which is totally amazing to me. I just, all these, and in the grand scheme of things, it's I use Perplexity. That's the only one I pay for. Copilot, ChatGPT, Claude. In the grand scheme of things, when I work with them all the time, they seem very similar of the outputs that they're giving at this point.
Correct. This makes sense, and I'm glad you went through this because I had a number of questions beforehand, but yeah. You kind of addressed the vast majority of those questions. So when you send this small language model will be on your device.
Right.
You have data that you would input into it. It's just going to analyze that data for you.
That is correct.
Okay. And so it's not like it has to go out to the internet or any other platform to receive information. It's just more so analyzing.
That is correct. Yeah, we'll get that into the next one, the Microsoft product itself. But this one here is accessing the internet. And if you want to get a lot of good information, because it will keep up to date with a lot of current information, because it can access the most recent information, search information out there, and then combine it with the information that's been programmed already built into the parameters itself.
So this is not a small language model?
No, this is a large one here.
Okay.
Yeah, but they do have small ones too. They do have small ones. Looks like all the big companies, all the companies out there going, okay, we realize not everybody, and plus they don't have the compute power anyhow to build these large language models so everybody can access it through the internet. There's just not enough power out there. So what they're doing is they're going to distribute these small language models. And we'll see that when we do the Microsoft one, but it's quite amazing. So let's jump into the review itself. To me, it definitely solves a problem. It's just like ChatGPT. I think to me, it is a good quality product, Claude. I would put it on par with Gemini, Copilot, ChatGPT, and also you can get access Claude within Perplexity. So what is your thoughts on it?
I liked it as well. It's more the same, but nonetheless, it's another platform that you can utilize.
Yeah. It was easy to use just like everything else. And then the pricing, at this point, I wouldn't pay $20. I would just do the free version. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not paying them. I'm in the same category space as you are. Perplexity. If I'm going to pay for one, it's going to be Perplexity.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
Yep. And I would recommend it. Yeah, absolutely. Just like the other ones, I would recommend this. I think this is going to be geared toward a lot of businesses and all these big companies that will be fighting over this business from Microsoft. Of course, they've got an entry into a lot of the companies out there because everybody uses Office 365. And of course, they have their cloud computing there. It'll be interesting to see who wins. The big boys have put money into it. Google's put money into this. Amazon's put money into it. And everybody wants to sprinkle the money around to everybody. And I think everybody wants to have choices of which LLM they want to use in their business and then in personal life.
I agree. I shared that with one of my family members this week. I personally think that each LLM has its own specific use case, its own particular target. And so I introduced him to Copilot as well as Perplexity this week because he was a champion of ChatGPT because that was his introduction into the large language models. But it's time to expand. They all have a particular use case.
Absolutely. Okay, let's jump to Gift Assistant, Juwan.
This is simple. It's simple, but yet very complicated.
Okay.
For a guy like myself, I get it all the time. I don't know what to buy my wife half the time. I have to make lists. Tell me what you like. And I got to make little mental notes throughout the year. When the kids and my wife come and ask me, what do you want for your birthday or for Christmas? I don't know. And so they got to make little mental notes as well. My wife actually, this is my birthday month, my mother-in-law birthday month, as well as this is Mother's Day. So my wife and my daughter's birthday. I'm sorry, baby girl. I almost left you off. But so we have three birthdays and then there's Mother's Day. My wife sent out a group chat. What do you all want for Mother's Day and for your birthday? And here we go. We're trying to thumb through and find ideas to give her. And it take away from the thrill because you're basically just telling them what you want. I'm a gift card type guy. Just give me a gift card and I use it whenever. And so I expect other people to be the same. I give you a gift card. Now, when you make a purchase,
didn't work that way, no.
It was something you wanted. So I found this to be rather interesting because it's going to help me in that regard. I'm struggling. And when I'm struggling to find out what to get to come up with any ideas, now I have a tool that can assist me. But before we get into it, it's very straightforward and simple. It's the GIF Assistant IO. Pretty much, how does it work? This is an artificial intelligence technology that enables customers to find a perfect GIF for any occasion. And so it pretty much combines AI and analyzes conversations or input that you put into the prompt, because it's nothing more than a prompt, identifies the best GIF for each customer and their unique needs. And so basically, you take that list of different ideas and suggestions. Oh, I saw that she walked through and she liked this pink umbrella, or she liked this, and I'll make notes and I can put it all in there, the types of things she liked to do. She complaining that her back hurts all the time or her feet hurt. So I'll put that in the chat, and it just builds it out based off of her specific needs. There's an idea section here, and this is all free. So you don't have to pay for this at all. This is all free. This is to help you. So if you want to, like how Dan did it, what was his name?
Oh, yeah, Dan. Spicy Dan. I call him Spicy Dan.
Spicy Dan, I got ideas too, and I can come right here and get ideas. And so you got your recent gift ideas that people may have looked at, and it's basically about finding that perfect gift. When you click on it, it's all the same. So once again, it takes you to a guide to help you navigate. If you notice, this looks pretty similar to the first page, the home page of, it's going to ask you, who is it for? What is the occasion? And what do they like? So that's the gist of this. It's just trying to find the perfect gift for that special someone. And so the things that it's going to ask you to consider their interests and their hobbies. What are they interested in? What are the hobbies? What shows do they like? What types of food do they enjoy eating? You know, anything that comes top of mind, you know, you can personalize it, which gives it a little more meaningful effect, because you know that credit, that Visa credit card or MX credit card that you hand out, gift card that you hand out, it just doesn't hit the way you need it to hit. And so once again, it's prompting you on things that you should be doing as far as paying attention to their needs. Perhaps you've been talking about upgrading their home office or setting up or treating themselves to a spa day. So these are all things that it's going to help you with, that you can input, create memories, focus on quality over quantity. You can ask for suggestions. You can tell it to show me some ideas and ask for suggestions. But it wants to get you out of the doghouse and not just give a basic gift. So that being said, we can work from here, but I'm going to go back to the main screen. Just click on.
Yeah, you don't want to be replaced by Spicy Dan, so you better get out of the doghouse.
Spicy Dan ain't got no game. But he just,
sounded like he had game. He got an article in the Wall Street Journal. I didn't see an article in the Wall Street Journal about your game.
And as you can see, it pre-populated because I played with this a little bit. But who is it for? Like, this is for my wife. What's the occasion? Mother's Day. Okay, what do they like? And this is where you got to put a little thought into it. You just can't run. You just don't want to aimlessly put stuff in here. You want to make sure it's tailored towards what your significant other is looking for, or that individual of who this gift is for. My wife likes exercising. Hopefully I spelled that wrong. Right. If not, I can just X. Got a little pace. She likes exercising. She likes bikes. Of course, she likes food. I say that on a little lower. Food. She likes
Spicy Dan.
She better not like Spicy Dan.
I don't know. I would put like Spicy Dan in there and see.
She likes the spa. Quality time. Movies. I'm just putting out different things, and then I'll click. Show me some ideas. What should I get my wife? And when you click, it takes a second. It's going to think, analyzing this material. And I'm pretty sure there's a repository, because all men wives probably like the same things.
I don't know. You put Spicy Dan in there, I'd be surprised to see what you get.
I'm not getting no spice. I'm not worried. Spicy Dan posed no threat to me.
You know? Well, I don't know about that.
You know, he's a bot. You know? But the good news, they found some gifts for you. So they have some ideas. What's the first one? A personalized workout gear set. Get your wife a set of workout clothes and accessories featuring her name or a special message. This will make her feel motivated and appreciated while she exercises. Awesome, awesome. Two, a bike tour or rental. Now, we just got bikes, compliments of my wife, and so we went out this past Sunday, and she showed me just how much she liked to ride bikes. We rode out, it started downpouring, and she found cover and called my daughter and told my daughter to come pick her up and left me with the bike. Now, she did. No, she tried to put him in the trunk, but that didn't work. So I rode the bikes back in the rain, took one for the team, gourmet food, a basket, a spa day, quality time together, plan a day filled with activities that my wife likes. So once you have your ideas, you can specify whether or not these ideas were helpful, or you can say, search again. I'm going to go with the personalized workout gear. So let's see, because not only does it give you recommendations, it allows you to shop. Takes you to Amazon. Let me see, share this tab instead. So you see it automatically took me to Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And so not only does that's pretty handy. And that's one of the big things is a lot of people may come up with an idea of something that someone wants. But now you run into the second half of that equation. Now, how do I get it? Where do I go to get it? Look no further. This is a one-stop shop. I'm going to not only help you come up with an idea, but I'm going to direct you to where you can purchase it from. So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty slick. And it also took a lot off my stress because I get a lot of anxiety trying to come up with gifts. I'm just being perfectly honest. But nonetheless, now I have a tool that I can use, others can use. We come back here. What about a gift basket? I can click. Once again, it takes me to Amazon. I can order strawberries. I've done that for my wife a number of times. I had strawberries sent to her job along with flowers. You can get creative with baskets filled with different types of gifts. It's just pretty cool. I thought this was pretty cool. And not only that, I thought it was right on time. And so this is the gift AI assistant or the gift assistant OI.
Wow, that is pretty cool. All righty. So give me your ratings of gift assistant.
I'm the gift assistant. I will use it for ideas. Not necessarily say I will follow through and purchase from it, but it definitely relieves some stress from myself from trying to have to figure out. These holidays are creeping up so fast. Every time you turn around, it's something new. Every month, it's a different way to get money out of your pocket. Now I can use these tools.
Yeah, I definitely see it solved a problem. And I can see how they're making money because if they didn't charge for it. So they probably have an affiliated type of arrangement with Amazon. And I'm okay with that because a lot of times if you can help somebody fine tune exactly what they want, I just log into my Amazon account, boom, done. In a day or 2 days, it's at my door. They get their cut, and I get the gift that I want.
Exactly. So, yeah, definitely solved a problem for me as well. Easy to use. Definitely wasn't much to it. Basically, the input is coming from yourself. They have the slots, the fields, and you just populate those fields with the information, and it's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, so you can't beat the pricing. It's free. You got to pay for it through Amazon. Only thing I'd probably change, it would probably have the ability to maybe look at other vendor sites also. If I had to make any tweaks to it, I would probably do that, give you an option of...
Might need to get paid from that site.
For like you, it'd be like Neiman Marcus, the high-end stores, Tiffany's. Me, it'd be the Amazon, but for you, I'd know, your wife would want only the best because... Spicy Dan would do that for her.
I couldn't even pronounce those stores you just named.
Get out of here. I don't want to hear that.
Who?
Oh my gosh. Go down Rodeo Drive. They probably know you by first name down there on Rodeo.
I'm a regular.
All righty. Let's jump into 5-3. And this is, I brought this, it's actually been out for a while, but they've just updated the model. And it is really considered, we had talked about it when we were talking about Claude 3, a small language model, which this is, it's called 5-3. And what it's doing is, and we discussed that it can, you're going to have these large language models out there, and then you're going to have these small ones. And you can run many of these small language models actually on your iPhone. And I actually have downloaded 5-3 actually on my phone. We'll play with that. And you ask, why would somebody do that when I can just have it access to free ChatGPT and things like that? But we see there's going to be multiple use cases for having access at a local device. And if you look down, you can see they did a little graph here, which I found quite interesting. Quality versus small size of small language models. And you can see how well it definitely responded to the quality response with this these particular small models compared to Llama 3, the small language model that we reviewed, 2 weeks ago now. And in Mr. Owl, which is a free, and all this is open source. So this is free type of software that you can download. I never thought that when ChatGPT was launched that we would, in within a year or a year and a half, we would have the capability of having our own personal large language models on our phone. It just blew my mind.
Yeah, it happens fast. It happened fast. Seemed
like overnight. This AI space is moving so quickly. And some customers may only need a small models, which will need big models, and they're going to want to combine both in a variety of ways. So you can have something locally, because, you know, what we talked about, you know, with the Rabbit R1, it has to go access the internet, and then it has to then go hit the large language model and then come right back to the device then to provide that information. They would probably been better to use open source software and get bigger chipsets to load their little small language model on the actual device. And if they did make those modifications, I think it would be something that people might would use. But now the latency is just so, is too much that it's just not going to be successful at all. But it was a really good article itself. So let's jump to my iPhone here. And there is a app on the Apple Store. It's called Private LLM. It's right by Hugging Chat. And we'll do a review of Hugging Chat, because Hugging Chat is, we actually did, was part of our video. It seems like everything we're doing, it comes around together. It all connects together. But you have Hugging Face, which is actually Hugging Chat. And Hugging Face is a repository of all the open language models that are available. And you can go and download it. You can go download the Llama 3, the large ones, as long as you had a PC, or you can run it on your own Amazon instance or Azure instance, that you can have this access to your private information. I'm going to hit this private LLM. It's starting to load, and it's loading the actual, that's a problem with it, is a lot of times is that it is taking so much memory of the phone. This is an iPhone 14 Pro, and even that is, even though it's newer phone, it still struggles with adding a lot of information to it itself. But with this, you can actually go in to settings, and you have capability of adding different things, sampling temperature and top heat. Basically, that sort of, you can change the response times with it, which is interesting how it works in that regard. And then here, you can manage the models. So with this particular app, you're able to download all these different ones onto your iPhone, depending on size of iPhone, memory, and hard drive capacity. You can download these different models. So you can get the Phi 2 Orange, which is the older version, Dolphin, which is the same thing, which is a little bit smaller model. And then they have these other ones I've never heard of, but they are definitely ones, that have the capability of getting information from it. And you just download it. And the bottom one, These are the different large language models that you can choose from. Like the Llama 3 SMAG, which is an 8 billion parameter, which is 3.64 gigabyte. That's how much storage it's going to take on your phone. But you have that on there. So you can see I've downloaded the Phi 3. And I can just play around with it just for a minute just to say, tell me about your SLM model and see what it gives me. And you can see it's pretty daggone quick.
Yeah, that's lightning fast.
It's lightning fast. And with that, you can create your own Spicy Dan, or maybe it's Spicy Jan for you.
Come on, Martin. You're giving Spicy Dan a little bit too much tension now. We'll let him go.
Oh, my God. It was just hilarious. All of this, everybody's going to have their own little small language models on their phone, and they're going to have their own type of little people that they want to create, their own little chatbot they're going to be talking to all the time. Good what's going to happen. Chat,
and I'm going to call her Keisha. Keisha. Come over here, Keisha.
But you can say, what is today? Whoops, I'm sorry. Today's date. And if you do that, it's going to say, I'm not aware of that, the current day and time.
So it's not pulling from
the internet. No, it's not pulling from your phone at all. It's no interfaces at this time between this. But this is where I think it's going. This is where, if people want to get in early with companies that are going to create something, but I think Apple is going to lock everybody else out. They're going to have their own small language model built into their chipsets, which then will have access to different types of apps. So if when you ask Siri, hey, can you call me an Uber? Guess what? It's going to then do that, go click into Uber, and then boom, it's done. Apple is going to control all of this. So if you want something outside of the Apple ecosystem, you will have capability of having these small language models built, downloaded to your phone, and being able to do that. So I can see the use cases for people around the world. I think we were discussing beforehand that most people don't have internet access, but people do have the capability of little tablets that even if they don't have power, they can just generate, charge the battery that's on the device itself. And I can see where you would then download some of these small language models that's probably written in their particular language they would have access to. And I can see where aid organizations, types of governments would be providing this type of information to say, hey, how to, a big issue is creating, especially in rural areas that are like huts or tents, people build fires inside of them and a lot of carbon monoxide poisoning occurs because they don't know how to ventilate or they don't have the right process. It's just like we're using it to solve problems that people that have less means are looking at it to maybe solve problems also. Maybe helping with when diagnosing somebody, having that information, because a lot of third world countries, or even really the United States, we don't have enough clinicians and physicians to help out. And I can see where you would download this that is specifically designed for that. And then the challenge would be is keeping it updated. So maybe doing quarterly updates, annual updates. I don't know how that would work, but if you had something that you'd have to keep it updated, that would be interesting.
And if it's not hitting the internet, then how do you send a manual update on these devices? How will it update?
Yeah, I don't know. That's something where, when you have aid workers go out, maybe there's a way to update it to do that remotely itself.
I'm going to be all the way honest, Mark. If I lived in an area where I didn't have access to the internet, I probably wouldn't have a phone.
Yeah, most of them don't, but they have tablets and things like that for education. Believe it or not, it's actually, they will use text messaging more than anything because they don't have the internet, but they do have basic cellular service where text messaging is still popular. Okay. And they send, because I've worked with aid workers that they use text message to get information out to different areas of the country itself. It's interesting. It's something you have to think about, that we live in a very affluent area in the world, but a lot of people do not have the benefits of what we have. We're very blessed in that regard. Okay. All right. My rating is, it definitely solves a problem. We are definitely going to need to have small language models out there. It's going to be very important. It's going to be part of the ecosystem overall. And it was easy to use after I figured out how to download it. And in value pricing, it's free. And I would definitely recommend it to anybody that wants to have something personalized to their specific needs versus having to pay $20 or even have something that accesses the internet.
I can see that. I'm still trying to think of a case where I personally would need a small language model for myself when I can have, I have someone, you can have it all. And so I'm just trying to think of those use cases in particular for myself. So right now, is it solving a problem for me? I don't think it's solving a problem for me. I'm going to go to Perplexity in those other languages right now, and I'm going to utilize it, those platforms.
Yeah. Okay. Let's jump to Zoom AI. Take it away, John.
Awesome, man. So with this review, and I want to be respectful of everyone's time, I found this to be very interesting and fascinating from the standpoint that with Zoom, it's a tool that we're all using, or Teams, or some sort of video conferencing, especially became prevalent even more so during COVID. And so now it's at the forefront. And so how do you enhance these technologies to improve the experiences for not only you as the presenter or the host, but for everyone within involved in the meeting? And I played around with it this weekend. I can't display the information that I have, but I did play around with it because it was a smaller setting, family setting, and I didn't get people consent, and I don't want to just throw them out there on AI Guy show without their consent. They may not want to be social media stars and content creator stars like Mark. So they're not ready for that, but we are. So what I'm going to do is I just want to talk about how I utilized it and share with you a video of how you could potentially utilize it in your environment. It's a tool that's a part of any paid offering. So if you have a paid subscription with Zoom, even if that's one license, you have access to the AI companion. There's a number of use cases that it speaks on and touches on, and we're going to go through those at a high level. Mark, I must admit, this is one that I definitely want to double back on and do maybe a separate session on just
this tool itself.
But let's talk about it. So with the Zoom AI companion, and once again, it plays into that assistant, that companion, that PI that everybody's looking for. That's the direction we're going. But last September, Zoom launched AI companion. It introduced its generative AI features into Zoom, which is technically, it's stating that it's going to help you save time and focus on what matters most. We're going to be the judge of that, but I always love to hear what they have to say. They have over 100 million customers that have been using AI companions to summarize meetings and team chat threads, to ask in-meeting questions. That was pretty cool. To create whiteboards, to draft emails, and as well as team chat messages. And so it can even receive clear, actionable feedback and provide that to you as the presenter after the meeting is finished recording. It can give you some feedback. And I just thought that was pretty cool. But here's the things that it says it does and the things that I had an opportunity to experience for myself. But from a meeting assistance perspective, when we go into these meetings, a lot of times we have to think ahead. We have to make sure it's well thought out. Who's taking notes? You want to send a recap out. So who's taking the notes? If I'm the presenter, it's going to be quite difficult for me to take the notes while I'm trying to present to the audience. I may take notes here and there, have to step to the side, ask for a moment, but that can break up the flow of the conversation. Whereas you can now have that seamless because your AI companion is taking those meeting notes. But let me ask you this. Have you been in situations to whereas you were late to a meeting? Or maybe somebody else was late to a meeting. And so if you were late to the meeting or somebody else was late to the meeting, it annoys a lot of individuals to when somebody say, I'm sorry, I'm late. Can y'all catch me up? Now things have to be repeated. And it can also mess up the flow of the meeting, per se, depending on when you came in. So now you have the ability to ask the companion AI, what have I missed so far in this meeting? And the companion AI will bring you up to speed on the things that you missed. But not only will it bring you up to speed on the things that you missed, it'll give you a summary up until that point, and it'll let you know who said what and where that came from. So I just think that that's pretty cool. So it's not just out in the air, you randomly trying to figure out, I have a recap, but who actually made these statements? Was that the customer side, or was that internally? Was that my IT team? You can validate and confirm the conversations and the interactions, but can also take actions as well. So I just thought that based off of that meeting assistance in general, that was very helpful. I did a recording this week, and I needed notes. And so I just turned it on and it took the notes for me. But not only did it take the notes, the beauty of it is 9 times out of 10, when you're doing a presentation, you're going through slide by slide, and each slide can represent a different chapter. And each chapter can have certain highlights, certain things that you want to hone in on from that particular slide or that chapter. That video recording now broke it down into individual chapters for me. And I just thought that was quite impressive, because now you don't have to scroll to find a starting point. If you said this is the part that you need to focus on, and you can go back in your meeting notes and go straight to that section based off of the chapter that you know that part was covered in. So the meeting assistance and being able to do that, to automate the summaries, you know, and you can, once it automates the summaries, you can share it via email or through the team chat. Now, one of the things that I did find about having the ability to share, if you select to automatically share, it's going to automatically share out your meeting notes. For me, that's a no. It's a no, because I do want to lay my eyes on any material that's going to be customer facing, just to make sure that it accurately captured. I'm still building up my confidence in this technology as well, but it's like none other than when you're on Perplexity or any other large language model, you want to fact check and make sure the information is being delivered accurately. So that's one of the things, the real-time interaction. During the meeting, the users can actually ask questions to AI. And it is amazing. They can actually ask AI questions, because they may ask the question that's already been addressed. And now, especially if you join late, and not only will AI answer the question, but it can clarify any details without disrupting the flow.
Beautiful.
And so this is huge. As far as the content and creation of this app within this application, the AI assists in generating and organizing ideas on their Zoom whiteboard. So now think of it, if you want to have a whiteboard for jotting down notes and collaborating with other members, you can have brainstorm sessions. You can have collaborative content creative sessions within this platform, and AI will assist and put things in place. And so I just found this to be perfect. I found it to be very helpful with what I was doing. I'm personally biting off a lot with these sessions and trying to manage it and do it all. That can be a bit overwhelming. And so now I have my notes. I have it capturing those notes. Everybody said, are you going to send out the meeting notes afterwards? So in my work environment, if we ever incorporate this, now I can send out meeting notes directly afterwards. I had a customer this week that asked, but unfortunately we use Teams. And he said, can you record this session? Sure I can. Recorded the session. Guess what? After the recording was completed, because he was a prospect, I couldn't send him that information. And I misquoted. That was last week that occurred. But I couldn't forward him that information. I had to go through my administrative team to get the admin team to get approval. And once they gave him rights, he was able to review that audio. because that's from a privacy perspective. And that's something that we all want to be mindful of. But the communication enhancement that this tool offers, it aids in drafting your chat messages and emails like any other AI companion. It can also go through your threads. So if I had a long-standing message dating back to a couple months with you, Mark, I can have it summarize our past conversations based off of the thread. Analyze this thread for me. You say, Juwan, I told you back on this date that I needed this and you didn't get it to me. Here we are 2 months removed. Let me go and chat into my companion. Can you find this for me when Mark stated this? And I can say, Mark, it scrubbed it and you never sent that to me. Or, okay, Mark, yeah, you sent it on this date. My apologies. Fall on my sword. But it ensures that your meetings, are more accessible to your participants. It helps with the required communications in different languages or formats. If there's a language barrier, now it's analyzing that, because there's often times that I sit on meetings and there may be a language barrier or I'm having a difficult time understanding what someone's saying. But now when I go back to the meeting notes, I can just read it out. And it's almost like it's the transcript. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But I couldn't access it. I didn't want to go into how to access it from my personal account. It's quite simple. Basically, if you are a paid Zoom user, you go into your account, you go to settings. Once you go into settings, you click on AI Companion. Once you click on AI Companion, it gives you a few options. And the options that it's going to give you is meeting summary with AI Companion. You want to check it and make sure that's selected. And what that's going to do, that's going to allow host to generate a summary. It's going to provide some, the summaries are sent after the meeting has ended based on your share options. So once you specify that, it gives you different options. Do you want your meeting notes to be sent immediately after the meeting has ended? Or do you want to screen the notes first? Once again, I'm a big champion of screening the notes, but then you has another checkbox of that you can select and make sure it's turned on, but meeting questions with the companion. I spoke on having the ability to communicate and ask questions to the AI companion mid-meeting so that you're not going to interrupt the flow. That's where that comes into play. And you have to specify that you want to allow the all users to be able to ask questions. So it's just a few checkbox that you have to select. And then last but not least, you have your smart recording with AI, which allows you to record and have your recording highlights. Have it summarized by smart, they call it smart chapters. Have it provide the next steps because it breaks it out in a true format for you. Have it break out the next steps. And if needed, provide feedback to you. So this is where it takes another step up. Whereas after the meeting is conducted, I don't know about you, Mark. The first thing I do is I call the team. I call the team, good meeting, awesome, any feedback? Because I want to know how I could do better. Any areas where I may have fell short, you have that built into your AI companion. It can be your meetings coach where it'll provide that feedback to you. So now you don't have to reach out. But nonetheless, I'm still the type of person who want to reach out to the team. I want to congratulate everybody because it's a team effort. So I'm always that type of person. But to have my companion also analyze and provide feedback, I think that's awesome. So that's the Zoom Assistant at a very high level from an overview perspective. I did want to show you this. I did want to show you this video because once again, the Zoom, it's cool. You can see it in real time here. We can federate with other apps. They also have the Ask AI Companion that's supposed to be coming out this month, which is a new way to interact with AI across the entire Zoom platform. It states right here, it can gather, synthesize, and share information from multiple sources across Zoom. So the Ask AI Companion. But I'm going to conclude on this and share this quick video with you and get your thoughts. Thank you. on so many notes. Everything within the Zoom ecosystem. Your chat, your mail, your phone, your calendar, your whiteboard. There's your chat room. You know.
Power your team. Looks like it connects into Anthropic, which we discussed tonight. Claude 3.
Yeah, good catch. But yeah, Mark, I was impressed.
Good. Let's go and review it. So give me your review of Zoom AI.
You already know where I stand. I was impressed. And it's something that I'm going to leverage. I want my company to use it. And the reason why I want my company to use it is because we have a number of meetings. And sometimes you just need a non-biased companion. Non-biased listener. And it's just capturing, because I often find myself running into situations and just, did I say this or did I not? Or is anybody who's taking notes for this meeting? I just find myself in that situation a lot. And we do meetings daily, going from one meeting to the next, needing a bio break. Now this gives me an opportunity, click the button, turn it on, get the recap. I can visit on my own time at night if need be before composing any emails.
Is it included with the Zoom, or is that an additional fee to get the AI?
It's included with Zoom. So basically, all you need is one license.
Okay.
Know? And so you don't have to have Enterprise. It's included with Zoom. Any paid purchase.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I see. I use Teams at other organizations I work with, but it just, you know, Zoom was hot, then it got cold, and I think Microsoft is eating into their business. But yeah, it definitely solves a problem. It definitely summarizes. It's definitely easier than Teams and sharing. And why wouldn't you use it to leverage to make things so much more productive and more efficient? And I find it probably the easiest. I would say probably the easiest is probably what I work with Google, their workspace. That's pretty easy, but it doesn't have as much functionality as Zoom. And the value pricing, I think, is pretty much in line with everybody else do. And yeah, I definitely recommend Zoom as probably the number one type of conferencing type of app. And actually, we do have that capability even with our platform that we use here to produce the show. To use Zoom. If we eventually maybe have 4 or 5 people that want to join us, we can use the Zoom app to bring everybody in to have a conversation.
Exactly. And once again, I use Teams as well, but that's a part of the Microsoft ecosystem. Microsoft has the Office 360. They have the Copilot, and I'm pretty sure they're on the hills, if not already have something comparable to this AI companion within their platform. So you're getting everything within that Microsoft platform. But nonetheless, Zoom, I would definitely leverage this because it meets my personal needs, not necessarily a business need, but my personal.
Awesome. Okay. We're finishing up tonight. And want to thank everybody for watching us. Please and subscribe to our channel. Any final thoughts, Juwan?
No. Thanks for tuning in. We have the AI review barcode in front of you. Music is going to be playing for a tidbit. Please can like any of our content. Subscribe to any of our pages. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. Enjoy the music. You